Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. There has never been a shortage of dramas on stage, screen, or television about alcoholics and alcoholism. A little later, we'll be talking about a stage play focusing on two men who started an organization that has helped millions overcome alcohol addiction. But first, the Asian American community in our region has distinguished itself in many ways and on many levels, just as it has throughout the country. A few facts tell just part of the story. As of 2012, Asian Americans had the highest educational attainment level and median household income of any demographic group in the country. They're typically at or near the top demographic and the highest median personal income. Asian businesses in Missouri contribute billions to the state's economy. Most of them are in the St. Louis area. With me in studio to talk about the community, its influence, and its ethic are key members of an organization committed to serving Asian American businesses and individuals. That's the relatively new Asian American Chamber of Commerce, the AACC. Johnny Wang is AACC co-founder, board member, and vice president. He is an attorney with the Polsinelli Law Firm here in St. Louis. Alexander Lee is also a chamber co-founder and is 2013 president. He's director of legal affairs at Centric Group. And Tanya Sharmalind is secretary of the AACC and an attorney at the law firm of McCarthy, Leonard, and Kemmerer. Thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I know you're all excited about a festival that's going to be taking place in the not-too-distant future. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But first, Johnny, let me turn to you and ask you to give me kind of a community profile, of the Asian American community here.
Sure. The Asian community is extremely vibrant here. And in recent years, what we've been seeing is an influx of immigration here from just kind of all over. And in addition to that, there's also a very large community of second-generation Asian individuals who are coming together, creating organizations, identifying who they are, and building something together, a special community and a life for themselves.
Tanya, why do you think that this particular part of the country or part of the state actually has been such a magnet, if you will?
Well, St. Louis has a lot of great organizations here and companies here that draw a lot of immigrants and other individuals from other states to this area. There's a lot that St. Louis can offer, and as a person who has grown up in the St. Louis area, I've kind of gotten to see over the years how much St. Louis can truly offer immigrants, including Asians.
All right, Alex, what does it have to offer?
You know, I mean, you can just go all across the board in terms of all the wonderful things St. Louis has to offer. First and foremost, it's a terrific place to live. You know, you've got arts, culture, terrific learning institutions and whatnot that kind of dovetails into what Tanya was talking about what draws folks here is, you know, we've got tremendous Washington University, St. Louis University, UMSL, and a lot of great educational centers that draw folks here, and, you know, it just goes on and on in terms of what St. Louis has to offer.
The chamber is relatively new. I think it started in 2011. Am I correct on that?
That's correct.
Only a couple of years old. I wonder why it took so long to organize in this fashion.
It's a great question as to why that is. You know, we, you know, as second generation immigrants and whatnot, you know, took it upon ourselves really to connect folks to one another. We've had a lot of really great support. I think that the overall St. Louis community is interested in having an umbrella organization like ours to connect the overall St. Louis community to the Asian community. And so, you know, folks like Kathy Osborne and the Regional Business Council have been very, very supportive of our efforts towards that end.
I think perhaps what we ought to do, because some folks might be a little confused, when we talk about Asian Americans, Tanya, I'll turn to you for this. Who are we talking about? I mean, it's not like we're talking about one or two nationalities, if you will. It's pretty widespread.
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think for the most part, we may be talking about second-generation immigrants, people who have parents that were born in different countries in Asia and have come to the St. Louis area, excuse me, and have grown up as an American and adopted the American traditions and culture, but at the same time still having a very strong link to their heritage and their Asian heritage and culture.
Actually, what I'm getting at is who are the various groups? And I have a list in front of me here, and I expect, you know, we'd probably find Chinese, Japanese, Korean, that sort of thing. But the list I have, if I can find it, includes Chinese, Filipino, Indian, Japanese, Korean, Pacific Island, Thai, Vietnamese, Pakistani, and Indonesian backgrounds. That's pretty...
That would be correct, yes.
But Johnny, it's not a monolithic group, obviously, with all these different components. It has to be extremely diverse in many ways.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think what you find is that there are a group of older immigrants who have been here for quite a long period of time, and they've become quite established in our region and are very successful business owners. And then you have another group of more recent immigrants who are entrepreneurial, starting their own businesses, starting their lives, building their families. And so you have a lot of different groups, even within these different ethnicities, that what we're trying to do is bring them together to work together and try to benefit and better our community as a whole.
There seems to be, though, a single ethic involved in terms of business development, and the entrepreneurial part of it.
Absolutely. The common theme is probably an extremely hard work ethic, extremely great work ethic, understanding that what we put into what we're building directly results in what we get out of it. And when we, for example, many of the more recent immigrants recognize that by building their own businesses, it's better than going to work for somebody else because they see a direct return on investment on what they're doing and their time. And it just happens to be that that's just what drives many of us.
I wonder if there's an explanation for that. Alex, do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, I think that it comes from, you know, the folks that come and decide to immigrate here. They're self-starters. And, you know, they have that work ethic and they have that can-do attitude. I mean, it's what built America, I think, overall. And you see that from, you know, immigrant cultures, you know, dating back to, you know, the Mayflower and all of that. So I think that folks who choose to come over here, who take that risk, you know, bring with them that work ethic, that can-do attitude, and the entrepreneurial spirit, which I think is why I think there's been an overall push in St. Louis County and the Mosaic Project to really push for immigration to this region because we recognize the value of those folks to the economy locally.
It's interesting to note, and we've done programs on this, that this community and the political leadership in this community is very, very interested in attracting as many immigrants and refugees as possible because it is recognized that when this does happen, there's an immediate economic boost to the community because of this entrepreneurial spirit that you're talking about. That's obviously very important. All three of you are attorneys, correct?
Yes.
That's correct.
All right. Well, let me ask you, and I hope you don't mind this question. Alex, what did your parents do?
So actually, it's what brought our family here was my father went to Washington University School of Medicine, and he was a radiologist. He still is a radiologist. And you know, my mom was a homemaker, and they met each other in Hong Kong, but decided to build a life here in St. Louis as a result of my father coming to Washington University.
So for you, it was not a long climb, as it were, to go to law school. I mean, your family was pretty well entrenched in the medical profession.
Right. I think that's a fair statement,
yeah.
Definitely.
Tanya, how about you?
My story is similar to Alex's as well. My father is a chemist at Monsanto. And my mother is a accountant at the University City. Excuse me, at University City.
Mm-hmm. And Johnny,
my father he actually still is an engineer at Boeing, and my mom was a homemaker. Mm-hmm. So
your backgrounds are kind of the same.
That's correct.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting. One of the things that I've noticed, and people that I know have noticed about the Asian American community, is the emphasis, the very strong emphasis that is put on education. Johnny, tell me a little about that, about how this emphasis is placed on young people today.
Yeah, you know, you see a lot of literature out there, and I think something that recently became very popular was the Tiger Mom. And
yes.
Yeah, and so that's something that, you know, even as a child, you know, it's just impressed upon you so much by your parents. And it definitely it may not be a cultural thing, but our parents' generation. Many of them came here for education, and they've continued to instill that in all of us to understand that, you know, it's not a question of if you're going to college. It's just only a question of where you're going. So
it's, you know, it's stereotypes are generally not something that we like to talk about because often they're negative. But in this particular case, Tanya, I think it's very, very positive because that's the way people look at the Asian American community. Have you found that to be true?
That is very true. And piggybacking off of what Johnny said, my parents also did put a very strong emphasis on education. Just from our small representative right here, our parents prove it true that Asians and other immigrants do kind of boost the economy by providing great work, good work ethic, and offering a lot to the St. Louis community. So absolutely.
Alex, that really tells me a lot about some of the deficiencies we see in our education system today. A lot of our schools aren't working very well, and a lot of the blame for that is attributed to parents not being involved with their children, which is exactly the opposite of what we're talking about right here. Do you see it that way?
I do. I mean, I think it's a joint effort in terms of education for children. You can't just put it all on the school systems. School systems are obviously very, very important to the overall education of children, but parents have to take a huge role in that. You know, you think about all of the efforts that our respective parents put into our education in terms of time. And, you know, I remember my mom making sure that my homework was done, you know, shuttling us from practices and, you know, all different things like that. And she was just very, very involved in that process. And I don't think I would be where I am today without, you know, her strong influence and her involvement.
Well, can we find a way to bottle it and and maybe put it to good use in places where it's necessary? Let's talk a little bit about the chamber now and the work that it's doing. Give me a kind of an overview, if you would, Alex, about the work you're involved in right now.
Sure. So we really, in our first few years, we've been looking to build the organization overall as an umbrella organization. We're not here to replace any of the existing Asian organizations that are doing great work and a lot of good things for the community, but we want to help promote what they're doing. So there's a lot of outreach going on in terms of membership building. We're trying to look for programs and services that will help augment and really promote Asian businesses and organizations. We've had a monthly breakfast seminar series that hopefully have been bringing out relevant topics to business owners and things like that, insurance, law, risk management, and things like that. And along with that, obviously, we've got our keynote event coming up this Saturday, which is the Asian Heritage Festival at 8020 Olive, and that'll be promoting Asian businesses and organizations. It'll be a day of food and culture and entertainment from 10 to 7, and we're knocking on wood for good weather as well.
You've learned how to slip in the commercial during the course of the conversation. Good for you. I have to take a break now. Let's do that. We'll come back and talk more about the Asian American community and some of the things that are going on, and certainly what's going to be going on this weekend. My guests in studio are AACC's co-founders, Johnny Wang and Alex Lee, and Tanya Sharma-Lind, I hope I pronounced that correctly, is the AACC secretary with me in studio. Back to continue our conversation. If you'd like to get in on it, please do so. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. We'll take an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. If you'd like to send us a tweet, we'll take that too at STL on Air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back as we continue our conversation on the Asian American community in our region. It plays such a big part in our part of the world and certainly has a large impact on the economics of the St. Louis region. My guests in studio are the co-founders of the Asian American Chamber of Commerce, Johnny Wang and Alex Lee. Also with me is Tanya Sharma-Lind, AACC Secretary. And we'll take phone calls in just a minute. Some folks are eager to get in on the conversation. One thing I did want to get into just very, very briefly, and Johnny, I'll turn to you for this. A lot of places in this country have developed, it seems recently, over the debate on immigration in this country today, sort of a xenophobic approach. Have you and your community suffered from this at all? Has there been any sense that, you know, because you look a little bit different, your names are a little bit different, that people kind of shy away?
You know, I don't think it's anything as overt as that usually. I think the way we see it play out is a lot of times in the legislation that we try to get passed, things that start out as an effort to grow and help our economy unfortunately get labeled and affected by a xenophobic attitude that you know, these efforts take away jobs, these efforts hurt our economy, when on quite the contrary, that's the whole goal of them, is to grow our economy.
Mm-hmm. Tanya, how about you? Have you sensed that at all?
I personally have not sensed that, but I do agree with Johnny that when new legislation is arising, or when people feel change, they can tend to be a little bit more hesitant to proceed with it unless they realize how truly important they are.
How about you, Alex? Same thing, I would assume.
You know, I think I agree with what Johnny said, that it's a little bit more subtle than something that's very overt or in your face in terms of the xenophobia and all of that. I think that, you know, because, you know, Asian Americans look different, you know, that it takes a little bit more time for folks to see us as actual Americans. I mean, you get, you know, I still get that question all the time. Wow, your English is really good. You know, when did you move to this country and all that? And I was born and raised in St. Louis and feel as American as the next person.
How does that play with your parents and perhaps grandparents if they're here, or newcomers who are recently arrived? Do they sense it? Is it a problem for them?
I think so. And I think, you know, for new immigrants, there's sort of a natural inclination to stay among your community and folks that look like you and who are more like you and stay within that enclave. And so in some ways it builds upon itself, makes it a little bit more difficult to integrate at times. But I think there's a definite effort overall, you know, for the second generation and beyond to try to integrate ourselves with American society.
Mm. Anybody want to add to that, or should we just move on? I don't want to belabor that particular point. You talk about legislative actions and things that you're interested in. What are some of the things that that you are and have been interested in? Johnny?
You know, it's interesting. The AACC actually got its start in large part because of the efforts locally to establish a China air cargo hub. And, you know, that's a prime example of something that started out as an idea that really benefit and grow our economy. And so it was frustrating that it didn't come to fruition because it got embroiled with the whole tax credit issue. But also in large part, you know, it was viewed as we're giving money to China, which wasn't the case at all. But, you know, that's how it was viewed as, right?
Right. Any thoughts about that, Tanya?
I'm just going to go ahead and agree with Johnny.
Hey, I have to agree with Johnny 100% on that. I think that it was really couched in terms of, and we're talking about the tax credit program for the Midwest China Cargo Hub effort. It was something that really had a great opportunity for St. Louis in terms of really expanding the pie, bringing jobs here and bringing opportunity and providing utilization for St. Louis Lambert Airport. And I think that it got miscast and mislabeled as something that, you know, you're giving dollars to Asia, you're giving dollars to China, and it simply was not the case.
You know, what got lost in that debate, I think, was the fact that it would also have been a very, very convenient hub for cargo from Latin America, and that going in the other direction, but the stop would be here, and that would have also had beneficial economic benefits to this country. Let's take some calls. Tom is joining us from Pacific, Missouri, which is, I guess, quite appropriate. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just really curious. This is an interesting conversation. I actively seek to shed labels, like ethnic labels, national labels, things that would force stereotypes on me, and I'm listening to you guys talk about some wonderful things that you're doing, like helping small business owners, just wonderful things. But are you really saying that you discriminate against, like, let's say an African-American person came to your Chamber of Commerce and wanted to be a member? You're saying you're not interested just because you're trying to discriminate against? I mean, because basically when you're positively discriminating in one direction, you're negatively discriminating in all other directions just by definition. You know, so are you really just interested in Asian Americans? Because that's just so arbitrary to me. You might as well be Justin Bieber fans for as much as that would tell you about someone.
Tom, we've got the point. Thanks very much for the question. Now go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, you know, I absolutely appreciate the question and the sentiment. No, we absolutely do not discriminate against other businesses or anything like that. In fact, it's funny that you mentioned that because we've got several African Americans who've been huge and very active participants in the organization. You know, we've got Daryl Scott and Fred Wooten, both who have been very instrumental in the Asian Heritage Festival preparations and all that. We've got folks from, you know, all sorts of cultures and backgrounds participating in the Asian American Chamber of Commerce. The whole purpose of the Asian American Chamber of Commerce is not to exclude anyone, but it's to help integrate and bring together the Asian American community and the overall St. Louis community overall, and to create an interface between the two. So definitely nothing in terms of being exclusionary or anything like that, but wanting to help promote Asian American businesses and organizations and be an umbrella organization.
Can individuals as well as business people, that is individuals who may not be associated or be business owners, join your organization?
Yes, Sonia? They can. There's a lot of individuals who are part of a company, who are their own entrepreneur, who are just individuals who are interested in kind of promoting the immigration and the integration movement in the St. Louis area.
Johnny, what kind of help can you give them if they are interested in starting a business? And what do I do? Where do you come in?
Sure. A good example is we recently had an AACC business clinic, and at this clinic we had a number of vendors and service providers come and give free advice to any of our business members who wanted to come. And that was open to anyone, regardless of if you were Asian or non-Asian. Those are the types of services.
Let's take some more calls as time will allow us to do so. Mike will join us from Webster Groves. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to let you, your listeners, know that there's a art opening this weekend tomorrow at the St. Louis Art Museum. And it's an artist named Churo Bada, and he came here during World War II. He was interned in Tan Foran internment camp in Utah, and then he moved to St. Louis, and his family ended up settling here, and they just donated a big mural. Tomorrow they're gonna reveal it at the art museum, so I wanted to let everybody know.
Mike, let me just ask you, is that the same Obata, the Obata family of the architectural firm?
Yes, that's so Chura was Gio's father, and he was a famous Sumi painter. He painted in the Sumi style, Japanese style of painting. And he was a professor at Cal Berkeley. He ended up moving back there after he lived in St. Louis, but he, what else we didn't know about Chura? He, a group of church members in Webster Groves actually sponsored him to move here, because when you were living in an internment camp, you had to get sponsored, and so, yeah. So it's a big deal. It's kind of exactly what you're talking about. It's a true immigrant story.
So. Right. Well, Mike, we thank you so much for bringing that to our attention. Who else comes to mind, prominent people who have played a prominent role in St. Louis, who have Asian American backgrounds? Anyone come to mind? I'll mention one, Bill Wu, who was the editor, the first Asian American editor of a major newspaper in the country. Happened to be a friend of mine, but for many years he was the big man at the newspaper there, Post-Dispatch.
Yeah, I mean, a name that definitely comes to mind is Bill Tao. He's really sort of the grandfather of the Chinese American community here in St. Louis. He's really contributed a lot, both monetarily and otherwise, to the local community, and it's definitely someone we look to as an elder statesman for the Asian American community.
All right. Well, we'll take one more call and then talk a little bit more about the festival. Brandt, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say that one of the strengths of the Canadian economy is that British Columbia is probably close to half Chinese, at least Vancouver is, and their economy is more in sync with the Asian economies as a result. And so when one economy is down, the other one is up.
All right, Brent, thank you for the comment. Anyone want to respond to his comment?
Yeah, I think that's definitely just a great example of why St. Louis is placing such a strong emphasis on attracting immigrants here. We view that as the future of our economy, and that's what the Mosaic Project is seeking to do. So,
the figure that I have in front of me here is that there are 56,000 Asian Americans in the greater St. Louis area. Does that sound right to you guys?
It does. I think that all of those folks, are spread out all over the place in terms of, all the great neighborhoods and areas that we have here in the St. Louis metropolitan area. But, yeah, you see more and more Asian faces as you go out and about, both in your workplace and in the general community overall. So that's definitely an accurate figure.
And certainly on the campuses of our major universities,
there's
no question about that. Although there is a concentration of Asian Americans in the University City area, correct?
Yes, there is, on Olives Road, more specifically, yes.
Okay, a couple of minutes left. Let's talk quickly about the Heritage Festival that's going on. Who wants to be the lead on this?
Sure, I'll go. The Asian Heritage Festival is an annual event that we put on that is a great opportunity for members of our community to interact with restaurants, Asian restaurants in particular, sample their food, experience Asian culture. We'll have a series of performances starting at 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. One of the most exciting ones is the Bunraku Bay Puppet Troupe from Columbia, Missouri. They've performed around the world, and they've actually performed at the Kennedy Center as well. And so they'll be there.
All right.
And they're Japanese in background in terms of ethnicity and all that, in case that was unclear.
And Tanya, what's going to be your first stop?
Oh, well, I'm at the registration table, so if you want to volunteer, feel free to come. But, you know, just to add on to Johnny's comment, I mean, the Asian Heritage Festival is meant to celebrate what St. Louis has achieved so far. And St. Louis has done a really great job with the immigration here. We have done a especially great job of trying to get entertainment from all areas of Asian culture. So we not only have Japanese, but we also have Thai, and we have Indian dancing. So we have a lot to cover, and we're really excited about it.
All right. That's happening this Saturday, October 5th. We're hoping for good weather. That's in the heart of the St. Louis Asian American community in University City. The address I have here is kind of focal point is 8020 Olive Boulevard. Is that correct?
That is correct, from 10 to 7.
All right. I want to thank you all so much for being with us. Johnny, thank you for being with us. Tanya, great to see you. Good luck at the registration desk.
Thank you. I
hope you stay dry. And Alex, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Coming up, putting Alcoholics Anonymous in the spotlight, and we're going to do that literally. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.